Now this morning I'll be in chapter 34 of Isaiah, the continuing saga of our lives. I'll start out by reading it. Verse 1, "Come near, ye nations, and hear, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the imagination of the Lord is a indignation, of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. The mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls off of the vine, and as the falling off of fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword is the Lord. Sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all her princes shall be nothing. The thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortress thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and of a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall be a great owl, there shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and my spirit it has gathered them. And he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein." Now let's go back and see what it really says. If you realize in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "I will never speak to the multitudes except in parables." Okay? Parables are a symbolism. Would you agree to that? It's just symbol, shadows, types, and allegories, metaphors. And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." So all this is all about God. It's all in symbolism. The whole book is symbolic. And until we learn that it's in symbolism, we're going to miss what God's trying to tell us. And we'll start hearing those cries of carnality down in the channels of our minds. And the next thing you know, we're going off on them sidetracks and following those things rather than staying on that straight course. And he said that what was our habitation? Was on a street called what?
Straight.
See, I'm not going to be making any turns. So let's back up and see what it says. In verse 1 it says, "Come near, ye nations." Do you think he's talking about countries? He's talking about the minds, the imaginations, these nations up here. To hear. That word "hear" is the word shama, which means to hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to what you heard. So if you hear something from God, it's saying, he's telling you this word, when you hear from God, then you should respond positively when you hear intelligently. Okay? And hearken. The word hearken should pay attention. It said hear with that and then pay attention. You people, let the earth, and what is the earth? It's humanity. Let them hear. Let them hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to what they hear. and all that is therein. The world, that's the inhabited earth, okay? That's the whole of humanity. And all things that come forth of it, or all of its offspring. Everything from the world and the world system, they need to listen to what God's saying.
All.
All. A-L-L. Not part of them. All. Need to listen. Verse 2, the first word should be because. Okay? Because the indignation of the Lord is upon what?
All.
See, he's got to judge all. In Corinthians, Paul wrote and said, by one man, death came upon how many?
All.
All. And by one man, Jesus Christ, all shall be made alive. That's what he's telling us right here. He said God's indignation is on all, so he can have mercy upon all. None of us asked for it, did we? I didn't. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't ask for it. It came and got me. But he said, and his fury upon all their armies. Armies only speak of defense systems. Would you agree to that? An army is a defense system. So what is a defense system within me? What's my defense system?
Ego.
It's my ego. It's myself, my humanity that tries to defend itself when I'm attacked. Okay. Did Jesus defend himself when anybody attacked him?
No.
See, that's what we need to see. Did I say easy?
No.
I didn't say easy. I said we need to see that we don't have to defend ourselves. He's the one in control. He can take care of all of it. He has utterly destroyed them. What did he destroy?
The
armies. He's talking about that self-sufficient system, that ego. When he died upon the cross, that carnal man was defeated right there. But we still haven't experienced that. We haven't had that journey yet, have we?
Not been awakened to that.
Until we start that journey, we're going to have no idea that that man was already taken care of. He was the last Adam. So how can the church tell you that you're acting in an Adamic nature and doing something as Adam when Jesus said, I am the last Adam? How could they do it? Because they're doing it ignorantly. They don't understand. Okay, don't make them bad. Just, ignorance is not a bad word. Stupid is the bad thing. You can't fix stupid. But ignorance you can fix, because ignorance is only a lack of information, enough information to make the correct decision. So with a little bit more information, you can fix ignorance. It's not a bad thing. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. He already did that. That's what the cross was all about. I can stay on the cross all day, and I don't want to take it off this where we're at. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. This is real easy. What's it smell like when you get around someone who's really, really carnal?
Or negative.
Well, negative is carnal. What does it smell like? What does it make you feel like inside when you get around somebody that's just so carnal? It just makes you nauseous. You know, it's almost like you can smell what they're doing. And that's all it is. It's an example here of what he's saying. You can smell it. You can sense it. Smell is one of your senses, isn't it? And the mountains, what does a mountain represent?
It can be with positive or negative.
High, it's positive, it's government. Mountains and hills speak of governments. It depends on the context it's used in. But speaking of governments, their governments, that's their control, shall be what? Melted or dissolved with their blood. He's saying they're all going to die, and if the blood's drained out, and didn't Jesus say the life is in the blood? If the blood is drained out of these systems, then what can they do to you? Nothing. That natural man can do nothing to you. Everybody keeps saying we came from Adam. We did not come from Adam. There's a passage that Paul wrote about, he talked about. He said, and I can't think of a passage, and I can say the verse. He said, you look in a mirror and see your natural face. Do you remember the passage?
It's in James.
And he said, you see your natural face. But that word natural right there is a mistranslation, because that word natural is the word Genesis. And Genesis means what?
Beginning.
So you look in the mirror and you see your beginning face. That's not Adam. Because we all began in God. No matter where we're at and where our journey takes us, we all started in God, so guess where we're all going back to?
What's
What's that thing say up there?
Origin determines destination.
Okay. If we begin in God, we're going to end in God. Doesn't make it a big circle. 23rd Psalm talks about going in a circular path in the Hebrew. When it talks, if you read that 23rd Psalm, it talks actually about taking a circular path in the Hebrew and taking you back where you started. It's all through the book, wherever you go. But you got to get in and find it. I'm just giving you an outline. I'm not telling you everything I know. I can't. I ain't got time today. I ain't got time the rest of my life. But I mean, I just say there's more coming all the time. So you got to look at it yourself. It's got to be your journey, your experience. Verse 4 says, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. What is the host of heaven? Anybody know? How about the sun, moon, and stars? Are they in heaven, in the sky? It's actually in the sky. What do you think that is?
Natural.
That's natural. So what's it teaching us about spiritual? If we go back to Genesis 37, there was a man called Joseph who had a dream. And he said, the moon, the sun, the moon, and the stars all bowed down to me. And his father later interpreted that to him. And he said, shall I and your mother and your 11 brothers bow to you? So who is that? The sun. He said, all that, what he's speaking of here is kind of a negative thing. It's all going to be dissolved. And that's the religion of man and all the things they do. We are seated in heavenly places, are we not? In Christ. See? So all this natural stuff is going to come out of the heavens. And right now, religion is mixed with man's ideas, and that's the problem. That's why it's got to be cleared out. It said, shall be dissolved or vanish, and the heavens shall be rolled together or rolled up as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls off of the vine, or as the... Or falling from a fig tree. Okay. If it falls off a vine or falls a tree, it just releases and drops. When the time comes for a leaf to fall, is there any struggle?
No.
When it comes time for God to get rid of those things in our heavenlies to drop back to the dust, do you think there's going to be a struggle?
Because it's reached.
It's already done. Mm-hmm. When that leaf has reached its purpose, it drops off and goes back to the earth. Just like our bodies go back and our spirit goes back to God. No difference. Verse 5, because, the word there should be because my sword, and isn't that the word of God? The word of God is like a sword. Shall be bathed in heaven. So what did he do in the spirit realm? What? How did his sword get bathed? What was it bathed in? Bathed in the blood, really. Okay, bathed in blood. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. What is Idumea? The root word of Idumea is Adam. So the sword came down upon Adam. Didn't the sword come down upon Adam? He was warned of it in Genesis chapter 2 and about, 13 or something like that. He said, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That's the word of God, which is a sword. That's the sword that came down on him. And in the book of Revelation in chapter 13, it tells you the rest of it when he already had the wound. Remember it said the beast had a wound in the head with a sword, but he did live. There's Adam right there getting hit in the head to kill the natural thinking process so that the mind of Christ could be put in its place. You could call that heart surgery. He had a heart replacement. And didn't he say in Ezekiel, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take that old one out and give you a new one. There was Adam getting his. You just got to see the whole picture. You got to open up your vision, look wider. And upon the people of my curse, the people of my curse. Now, that's not what it should say. That's English. It said, upon the people devoted to judgment, is what it should say. Upon the people, my curse is not even in the language nowhere. I don't even know where they got that one at. But it should say, the people devoted to judgment. Now, what do you see when you hear judgment? Les, what do you hear when you hear judgment? What do you think of?
Condemnation.
Okay, right. And that's where most people think of it. But the word judgment has two sides to it. If you go before a judge, he can give you a guilty or a not guilty. See, there's two things there. And the judge has already made his decision upon the cross. The day Jesus died upon that cross on Golgotha, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was speaking of the world. Forgive them. I have paid the price. I've shed my blood. I've took it into the Holy of Holies with you. It's over. No one is guilty anymore. But they still got to make the journey. They still got to make the journey. But we have no condemnation in Christ, right? That's the picture we got to get in our minds. Judgment can be positive or negative. Verse 6, the sword or the word of the Lord is filled with what? Now, what do you see when you see blood? There's always a positive and a negative, just like we said about the judgment. It's life or death. So the word of the Lord is filled with blood. Now, it can be either way. If I want to hear what God says to me, what is it to me?
Life.
But if I don't hear it, what is it to me?
Death.
It's death. It's that simple. Okay?
It's life to the spirit side and death to the carnal side.
Death to the carnal side, spirit, life to the spiritual side. It is made fat, it's made fatness with the blood of lambs and goats. You remember in Matthew 25, there was a parable he taught about the sheep and the goats, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Now everybody thinks that's good people, bad people, but what happened? He said to the goats, you're going into everlasting fire, or age abiding fire is what it should, not everlasting, but age abiding. And on the other side, the goats to it, he said, come into my rest. Enter in. Come on in. See? So again, it's about the journey, Teddy. If you're doing the right thing, the journey's not going to be as bad as the ones who want to bull up against it, want to be hard-headed, the goats. They're going to have a harder journey, aren't they? See, that's what it's all about. Knowing if you follow him, it's not going to be easy any way you go, but I'm going with him. He can shield me. He can take it off. He said, I'll never put anything on you that I don't give you a way to escape. See, if I call you, I'll equip you. What do you got to worry about? You can't fail in your life what God wants you to do. I tell this to people everywhere I go. You cannot fail. The church will tell you, you can fail. I'm telling you, God tells you, you can't fail. If God calls you to do something, can you fail?
No.
Show me a person in this Bible who failed to do what God asked them to do. Show me one. Everybody might think, well, what about Jonah? He ran away from God. Did he get a stay away?
No.
What happened to him? He got swallowed up by a big fish, puked on him on the bank, and he said, okay, I'll go do what you said now. See? You don't get away from it. You can make your journey longer and harder, or you can make it straighter and easier. Which way do you want to go? It's that simple.
If you go with what God says, it's more productive in getting you to what His purpose is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with the fat of the kidneys of rams, because the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. Does anybody know what Bozrah means? It can mean sheepfold, but also it's speaking of Edom, Moab. It's a town, and Moab and Edom both speak of Edom is the same as Adam. So he says, the Lord has a sacrifice in Adam, in us. There's a purpose in us. In us walking in our flesh and going through all the hell that we walk through, there's a purpose in that. Just like I said, we're learning through that experience, right? So there's an experience to go through. That's okay. We go through those hard things. That's okay, because it's teaching us something. We got something to learn in this journey. It does say sheepfold, but it's a town in Moab. Literally, it's a town in Moab or in Edom, which is Adam.
So,
okay. That's in Edom, isn't it? And that's Adam. Edom is almost the same word as Adam if you look in the Hebrew. Same root. Okay. And a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And what is Idumea? Adam. There's a great slaughter in there. So he's going to do a great slaughter. Now the slaughter is not you. Here's what we get wrong. We think that there's a class of people. And God does not see flesh. God sees spirit. And when he says he'll remove the wicked from the earth, what are we?
Earth.
We're the earth. We're made from the earth. He's going to take the wicked out of you. That's the promise. See, that's the promise. I'm going to take the wicked out of you. When he says, another verse there I was trying to pull out. I'm getting ahead of myself. The church wants to say that God's going to take the good people and run them away. Well, the book says the good are going to inhabit the earth and the wicked will be removed from the earth. See, so the wickedness is going to be taken out of... Oh, I know where it's going. Ten Commandments. Everybody calls them commandments because they're looking in the negative context again. If you look in the positive context, and that's just what they call it, I mean, that's what English people call it, not in the Hebrew, but it's 10 promises or 10 prophecies. When I get done giving you that change of mind, that heart transplant, you won't kill, you won't steal, you won't commit adultery, you won't lie, you won't do all these things because you'll be thinking with the mind of Christ and you can't fail. How could you do it? If you took a natural heart out of somebody's chest and put another one in there, what good would the one they took out be? They throw it away. It's dead. And that's what God's trying to portray to you, to show you that when he does his work on you, you don't have to worry about fulfilling anything because you have to fulfill what you have. You can only be who you are. You can only be what you be. That's it. If God called you, do you think that Judas Iscariot had a choice to do what he did to betray Jesus? At the Last Supper, did he not tell him, what you got to do, go do it. Go do it, and do it quickly too. Get it over with. See, we got to see that God's in control of all things, and that takes the pressure off of us having to take this load on us and carry it. It's not, we're not designed for that. That's for the spirit, not for the flesh. And verse 7, and the unicorns, and the word unicorn is wrong. There is no unicorn. That's a mythical thing. The unicorn literally says wild bulls. The wild bulls shall come down with them, and the bullocks, or the young bulls, with the what? The mighty. And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made greasy with fat. So he's saying all this slaughter, it's going to be so great that it's going to make it greasy. That's going to be a lot of slaughter, ain't it? I've killed a few animals and slaughtered a few, and it can make a mess. Think what it'd be like with all that. And that's just a natural expression of the spiritual. Because it is the day of the Lord's what?
Vengeance.
Vengeance. Bad word. Again, Les, what would you say vengeance is? Positive or negative?
Negative.
It's not. If you look in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, this is something the church world uses all the time to scare people with. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That's not what it says. It says vindication. Tell me the difference with that word. Vindicate you. What does that mean?
Set you free.
Set you free. Vindication is mine, says the Lord, I'll repay. How about that? That's the truth. Vindication. Go look at it. It's vindication. I'll vindicate you. Why? Because I went to the cross. I'll vindicate everybody. I went to the cross. Man, that's beautiful. Oh. And the year of recompenses for the controversy. And the word controversy is not correct. It makes it look, again, negative. And they go to that negative side. King James is really good at that. It should be cause, the word C-A-U-S-E, cause, for the cause of Zion. He said, the year of recompenses for the cause of Zion. What's Zion's cause? It's to bring everyone back to oneness with God. That's what the Son of God came, to reconcile you with the world. That's what the book says. See, we got to get out of those negative contexts that the church keeps putting in. King James did it. I mean, and God's aware of it. He's not mad at anybody.
Another word would be maybe purpose.
It would be a good word, purpose, but the literal language there says cause. And it would be purpose could be used right in there. And the streams thereof shall be turned to pitch. The streams from the world, he's talking about. Pitch is just tar. And the dust thereof into brimstone. The word brimstone is literally sulfur. Sulfur was put into every sacrifice for purification. See? It's talking about burning for purification. If you burn that hill up there, what's it look like next year?
Green
and comes back better than ever. See, fire doesn't destroy anything. It changes the chemical properties. And the book always says, science teaches, it changes the chemical properties and always in an upward motion. So when God uses fire on us, He's changing our condition into an upward position, getting us higher. Like the Spirit says, come on up. When He puts us in that fire, come on up, boys. Come on up. It's a refiner's fire. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch, and that's just tar, it's burning. It shall not be quenched night nor day, the smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste, none shall pass or cross over until the end. That's what it should say. Where it says, none shall pass through it, it should say, cross over. And the words forever and ever should be until the end. Now, what's that saying to you? They shall not cross over till the end. I don't want you to look to the end of the world. That's not what we're talking about. The end in me. My end. When I come to the end of my worldly thinking, guess what I do? I mean, you hear the people talk about crossing over all the time when they die. That's exactly what it's talking about. When I come to the end, it's not about a physical death, but when I come to the death and realize that what Paul wrote in Romans, when he said, when he died, I died with him when he was crucified. When he was buried, I was buried with him. In him is what it should say. And when he was resurrected, I was resurrected. When that becomes life to you, that's when your crossover comes. And you can't cross over till you realize that I have been crucified, that I have been buried, and I am resurrected in Christ. And when you realize that and you're thinking, guess what? You're going to scare the hell out of people. Because you're free. And free people scare religious people. They can't handle it. It's okay. It's all right. Did Jesus intimidate the religious folk? Did his prophets intimidate the religious folk? There was always a controversy there. It's okay. See, but if we get mad at them because they get mad at us, it just says we haven't learned anything either. It's just carnal head knowledge. If it's not reality, if I haven't walked it out in my journey, then it doesn't mean a thing, does it? I have to be able to love them regardless.
But you know what? In that journey, He don't make you go back to the beginning.
Oh, no.
You're right there in that land.
Right where you're at.
Just learn.
Just where you're at. Absolutely. Verse 11, the cormorant. Do you know what a cormorant is? I don't, you don't either probably. What you say?
Pelican.
It should say pelican, as a vomiting bird. That's an unclean bird, okay? And the bittern is a porcupine. So an unclean bird and a porcupine shall possess it. Those are unclean animals that shall possess the land. He's not saying that porcupines are going to run around in your head and pelicans vomiting stuff out, but there'll be stuff coming out that should be vomit. Should be called vomit. But what it's saying is things in there will be unclean thoughts because it's coming from the natural man and not from the Spirit of God. The source is the wrong source because we've been told by the church we're in Adam. No, we're not in Adam. We're in Christ. As long as we believe we're in Adam, what's going to come out of my mind? I'm going to be porcupines and puking pelicans, you know. There's bad thoughts coming out of my mind as long as I think that's what I am. Because the book says this, as a man thinks in his heart, his mind, what is he?
So is he.
Whatever I think I am, that's what I am. So if I believe I'm just an old natural dirt bag that's can't be anything done with, that's what I'm going to be. But we're not. We're all children of the Most High God. All. A-L-L. We all got different purposes and jobs. Okay, let me finish that 11. But the cormorant, that's the pelican, and the porcupine shall possess it. The owl, and the owl also, which is an unclean bird, also, and the raven, unclean bird, shall dwell in it. There's four different things, and it four speaks of what?
Completeness.
So everything in the carnal mind is totally unclean. And he shall stretch upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. Who put that line of confusion in our mind?
God
did. You can't condemn yourself for anything you've done in your life. Everything I've done in my life, every bad mistake, every wrong decision, every evil deed I've ever done, and I've done them. And you know what? I cannot condemn myself for them because God had them planned in my life to bring me to where I am today. Yet, but still, it was meant to be there. I had to experience that in my journey. That journey made me who I am today. Without that, I could not have been who I am today. So why am I ashamed of what went on? I wished I couldn't have done it, but that's the only way I could get there. That's the only way I can get to where I am today, is go through that. King David, who was a man after God's own heart, he murdered, he raped, he pillaged, he'd done everything in the world. But he said, there's a man after my own heart. Because he quickly realized that he learned from that experience. But everything else he said was vanity other than God. Okay. Verse 12. They shall call the nobles of the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all the princes shall be nothing. See, he's talking about them calling the nobles in the world system. Guess what? There is none. There's no nobles in the world system. They're politicians, liars, thieves, whatever. You name it, that's what they are. There's no nobles in the world. Verse 13 goes on and said, and thorns shall come up in her palaces. Thorns. What are thorns?
Curses.
In Genesis, he said the ground is cursed. Thorns and thistles was corns. Thorns and thistles were curses, excuse me. I got tongue-tied there a second. In her palaces. What is the palace? We're talking in a female gender here. Her. That's the soulish realm. That's in our minds. In her palaces. See, those palaces where she lives. Where does my soul? It's in here. It's the natural man in here with his female side.
In her kingdom.
Nettles and brambles, same as thorns and thistles, curses, in the fortresses thereof. And this is a fortress. If you don't believe this thing's set in stone, try to get something out of it on your own. Try to get them thought processes in your mind that you've learned since you were a child. There's a passage in Psalms that I heard the first time I read it, I thought it was the most horrible thing I ever heard in my life. In Psalm, I think it's 137 or 107, one of the two of the Psalms. And it says, blessed is he who takes thy little ones by the feet and dashes their head against a stone. They were taking babies by the feet and busting their heads on a rock. Again, that's a natural picture to tell you something spiritual. And when I realized, and back up in years down the road, I realized he was talking about Babylonians.
Yes.
Babylonians are thought processes in our mind. They are our adversary. And if you get them when they're young, it's a whole lot easier than when they get to grow great big and be great big valiant warriors. And that's the story he was telling us. Get them as quick as you can. Don't let them hang around too long. And it said, and it shall be a habitation of dragons. The word dragon here is kind of, I think it's funny, but it's cute. I can see things in it. It says it's a marine or a land monster or a sea serpent. A land monster that lives in the land. We were made from what? The dust off the land. And the sea serpent, sea represents humanity, so it's a monster that lives in humanity. Wonder what that monster might be. My carnal mind. I just think that's funny. I do. And it's a habitation or an abode for owls, the unclean birds. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the islands. And the satyr, or the hairy goat, shall cry to his fellow. And there was a thing about a hairy goat, that goat hair feeling. Remember the brothers?
Yeah.
Esau and... Was it Jacob and Esau?
Yeah.
That's all tied together there if you want to search it out. I don't go there, I'd be here all day. Shall cry or call to his fellow. The screech owl, another screech owl, I don't know where in the world they got the word screech owl. I really don't. The word screech owl comes from the word Lilith in the Hebrew, 39:17 in the Strong's Dictionary. And it means a female goddess, a night demon that haunts Adam or Edom. I wonder what that is. Ignorance, that's that carnal mind again. Well, it's right there. Also shall rest there and find for herself a home, a place of rest or a home. There shall the great owl, here again, I don't know, they must have been smoking something when they wrote this stuff. I'm telling you, this is wild. There shall the great owl. The word great owl means arrow snake. A snake. Because it was quick to reach out and grab things. It's called an arrow snake. Shall make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. Because a snake lays eggs too. Some of them lay eggs, some of them give birth natural. But they have eggs and then they carry them inside. There shall the vultures or the falcon also be gathered. Not vulture, falcon. Every one with her mate. And it says, seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall want her mate. They'll all prosper inside of us if we don't follow what we're supposed to do. Because my mouth has commanded and his spirit has gathered them. And he has cast the lot for them and his hand has divided it to them by line. They shall possess it forever, or until the age, is what it should say. Until the age, Olam. So when it says they shall possess it, what's he talking about? What are they going to possess?
Knowledge.
That mind, that knowledge of the human worldly way of doing things. And those beasts he's talking about, all those thoughts, all those things that's going on inside of us, all those animals that are portrayed by it, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. They're going to dwell here from generation to generation. Every generation has to go through the same thing. Nobody gets a free pass. Every generation, generations hundreds of years ago, we might have a different lifestyle, but they still had the same issues in their life. It's human issues. And every single one of us have to go through those same issues to go from the beginning to the destination. Every one of us have to do the same thing. There's no one gets a free pass. And no one's going to get left out. It's okay. Did he not say all? I mean, I'm not going to get into all because I could be here for days and days and days. But all means all. In every context, all, everyone, the whole. It's what the Hebrew word means. Hebrew means kol and pas in the Greek. And both of them mean that. The whole, everyone, every bit. So that's the best I can understand. Any questions?